Imagine the world without sin. Imagine that everyone loved each other like Jesus. What a beautiful, marvelous, wonderful place that this would be.
Pastor Ray Bentley says that kind of world isn't fantasy. That kind of world is coming.
A new world order is coming. You've heard that referred to. And there is a new world order coming. It's called the Kingdom of God.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The world has changed since the Lord first created it. It's not what it was, but thankfully, it won't stay this way. Today, Pastor Ray takes us to the book of Ephesians for a look at the mysteries of what's to come in the future. Not only will it excite us, it'll help prepare us for the next event on God's timetable.
Let's open our Bibles to my favorite book of the Bible, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Okay, the title of the message is Unsolved Mysteries. As you read through the New Testament, a number of different times you will discover that it talks about mysteries all through the New Testament, a variety of different mysteries. Now, what are the mysteries? Where do they fit in? What does that mean? And that's what we want to try to define and to share with you this morning. So beginning in chapter 1, verse 7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That's the best gift that we could receive, is that we're forgiven. We're washed and we're cleansed from our sins just by simple faith, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And then in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery, there's that word, of his will. So the mystery of the will of God is made known to those who have been forgiven, washed of their sins, who are believers. God makes known the mystery of his will, which is another way of saying the mystery of his goal. What is the goal? Why did you create mankind? Where is this all leading to? Where does it all culminate? Where is it all heading? What does it all mean? So he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. That, and here it is, here's the mystery. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, which is a fancy way of saying when the time is right, when the time is ripe, when it's ready, when everything has been fulfilled, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Paul says the mystery of God is that all things, and more specifically, all people, would be made one through Jesus Christ. Now, this world has tremendous potential. Imagine the world without sin. Imagine that everyone loved each other like Jesus, purely unselfish, willing to lay, as it were, down our lives for one another. And imagine if the curse were removed from the earth. What a beautiful, marvelous, wonderful place that this would be. And so Paul is saying that is coming. A new world order is coming. You've heard that referred to. And there is a new world order coming. It's called the Kingdom of God. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when the times have reached their fulfillment, then God will gather and bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. And God has some exciting plans for his glorious kingdom. And so we have the first coming of Christ and then the second coming of Christ. And there are many mysteries that are mentioned in the New Testament. And if I could just say that, what are the mysteries? The mysteries referred to in the New Testament are all the purposes of God that are between the first coming of Jesus and his second coming. Everything in between is a mystery. And what that means is, the word mystery in Scripture comes from the Greek word mysterion, the root word of which means to shut the mouth, hence it means a secret. But whenever you read about a secret in the New Testament, it's about now it's being told. The secret is out. God hadn't really revealed it. God hadn't really talked about it until now. And now, with the body of Christ, God is beginning to share that secret. So what is this secret all about? Well, imagine, actually, go back with me to Acts chapter 1. And I want to try to explain something about what the disciples expected, what they thought. Now, you know that in the Old Testament, nowhere did it talk about the church as we think of it. Nowhere in the Old Testament prophets it to talk about the body of Christ as we know it. That was a mystery that was revealed after Jesus came. Well, what did they talk about in the Old Testament? They talked about the kingdom of God. And what was the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God was the Messiah who would come and who would be the King of Kings. And it's a very simple, direct prophecy. He would be as the King of the Jews, ruling and reigning over the world, sitting on the throne of David in Israel, over the whole earth. That's basically what they were looking for and what they were hoping for. And there are also prophecies about how the earth would be transformed when he came. So, now what was not as well clearly known or understood was there was a picture of the reigning king and the kingdom of God and the glory of God on the earth, but there was this other picture of a suffering Messiah. For instance, Isaiah 53, talking about a Messiah, servant who lays down his life, who sheds his blood, who pays for the sins of the world. And they didn't really get that one. And it was so painful that it was too mysterious. It was hard to make practical and to understand even what it meant. So they had a tendency to overemphasize, you know, glory, ruling, reigning, powerful, wonderful, mighty, all those things. So Jesus comes, and he shows the power. He's walked on water. He has authority over disease. He casts out devils. He even raises the dead. And so in their minds, they keep, hey, the kingdom. And they're arguing, if you remember, about, they literally think Jesus is going to go sit on the throne of David in Israel, rule and reign over the whole earth, and they'll be his cabinet, and they're arguing about who will sit on his right hand, who will sit on his left hand. And then Jesus starts sharing with them, wait a minute, guys, I'm going to suffer. There were some other scriptures, remember. And he began sharing with them that in order to be fulfilled first, before I can rule and reign, I've got to die. First, I have to go to the cross. First, I have to give my life. First, I have to be crucified, but on the third day, I will rise from the dead. And initially, the kingdom of God is not going to come outwardly, it's going to come inwardly. It's going to come inside the hearts of those who believe and trust in me and follow me. Okay, so Jesus goes to the cross, he dies. Third day, he rises from the dead. Easter happens. The disciples have run every which way. Finally, he shows up to them, and for 40 days, he shows them, look, I'm alive, it's really me. I'm alive, I'm risen. So they gather together. And now, what is on the disciples' minds? What are they thinking about? Oh, okay, wow, we get it. You died for us. Our sins are forgiven. And now, we are your children, and the Holy Spirit can come inside of us. And so what is the first question on their minds? Acts chapter 1, beginning of verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, he said, basically, yes, the kingdom will come, but not now, not the way you think about it, not the way you expect it. And in fact, what began as they went to Pentecost and then the birthday of the church, Peter preaches, 3,000 get saved, and then they go out and the gospel begins spreading to all these Gentiles. And this amazing mystery, this secret called the body of Christ begins to be revealed. You remember reading about it in Acts? Peter goes out, Paul goes out, Barnabas goes out, and all these Gentiles start accepting the Lord. And they have a big argument about it. Should they be circumcised? Should they have to become Jews? And they have a big council in Acts. And they go, no, I don't think so. God just, he's just pouring out his spirit. Whoever believes is part of the family of God and is forgiven. And so all of a sudden, the kingdom, as it had been talked about outwardly, visibly, is as it were put on hold. And now this invisible secret is revealed, where God wanted to have a family of children that are from every single nation, not just one, from every single family, from every single tribe, from every single race, from every single color around the whole world. He wanted to call whosoever will may come. Now, there were hints about that, like in Isaiah, the later chapters, it talks about a light shining to the Gentiles. But really understanding the church, they had no concept of that. So for the last 2,000 years, as the gospel and the Great Commission is being fulfilled around the world, we're seeing the end in sight. The finish line is within view. But in the meantime, there are all these amazing mysteries. Exciting things that are going to happen. And in that they are mysteries or secrets, only believers really see or understand what's going on. Because none of the kingdoms of the earth will remain as they are indefinitely. God has a plan. And his ultimate plan is he's going to unite the world. And he is going to do what men have tried to do for thousands of years, bring peace on earth, get the nations to cooperate and work together. And we're far away from that. There's a desire for it, but there constantly seems to be this inability to ever arrive. Peace will come when Jesus comes back. And the real impetus and the forward thrust of that whole movement is the gospel. God calling his people, God calling out his children. And thus you have a lot of these secrets now being revealed. For instance, one is the mystery of Israel. And the mystery of Israel is that God would set the nation aside for a period of quite a while. The kingdom didn't come. Jesus didn't sit on the throne, at least on earth. He went up into heaven and is interceding for the church and for the gospel. And then in Romans 11, Paul says, in the last days, just about the time that God's done gathering, because God had said to Abraham, your name will no longer be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for you shall be the father of many nations. So when that is just about done and complete, then Jesus said the sign that things are about ready to wrap up is Israel will come back on the scene. And Jesus is about ready to come. So that's one mystery. Then there's the mystery of the bride of Christ that we'll talk about more in Ephesians 5, the secret of us being his bride. There's the mystery or the secret of Babylon, which is the false one-world religion spoken of in Revelation 17, the seeds of which are already among us today. There is a movement that has a lot of momentum around the world to unite all the religions into one. Contrary to the hopes of some in the past, the world is not getting less religious, it's getting more religious. And since we cannot seem, as the goal of some was, to eradicate religion from people, then we need to somehow control it. So you have to blend them all together in a way that everybody could kind of come together and everybody could get along with one religion. Because for some reason, man is incurably religious. And I believe that Jesus will be used by this one world religion, but it'll be a cosmic Jesus. It'll be a Jesus somehow that de-emphasizes or is devoid of the cross and the blood. You need to get that out of there and him being the only way. But he'll be up there among, you know, the greats, and somehow the world will want to come together. That's spoken of in Revelation in the last days. That's another mystery. There is also the mystery of the rapture. With all these other things happening, Israel coming back, the one world religion movement taking place, the body of Christ fulfilling the Great Commission around the world, then there is the secret of the rapture. And without going into great detail, very simply, at a particular time before Revelation says there is great tribulation, Jesus said there shall be great tribulation such as the world has not known since the beginning of human history in the last days. When we think of, we describe sometimes the war of Armageddon, it really, the word there is not war as in single, but it would be better translated the campaign of Armageddon. It is apparently a series of wars that culminates in the whole world. And Jesus said, if it were possible, no flesh would survive. We are now the first generation, proud generation, I speak facetiously, that have the capacity to destroy every living thing on the planet Earth, not only human beings, but all the plants, all the animals. We have that power, that capacity. So that's the wrestling match that is going on there. And the Bible says, unfortunately, that man on his own, left to his own, would destroy every last human being. But God is on the throne. God has a plan. And part of the plan is that he is going to come for his church and take the church out of the world before that great tribulation comes. And those who are then left behind will face great suffering. But even then, God's grace doesn't end, and there is a great revival that happens then as well. But I would like to be, and without, again, going into the details of, and intricacies of prophecy, whatever it means to be left behind is not a good thing. You don't want to be left behind. Whatever happens after those who go and those who are left behind is not good. And Jesus described it like this. There'll be two men working side by side. One will be taken and one will be left. There will be two in a bed sleeping side by side. One will be taken and one will be left, left behind. And how many of you would you know, again, and just in simple, generic understanding, agree with me that you don't want to be left behind, whatever that means. Okay, I don't either. So in the meantime, today, I mean, right now, there are millions of people accepting the Lord. Christianity is the fastest growing religion around the world, 2.5 billion people. It's sweeping, as I've mentioned, all through Asia, not just China, but Vietnam, a lot of other countries, amazing things happening there. But there are those who still don't know him. Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Because God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody left behind. He doesn't want anybody to be separated from him. He wants all who will to come and to receive his gift of life. But that day will come. I believe the next great event on God's calendar will be Jesus coming for his church. He says, when I come for the church, I'm going to come and steal my bride in the middle of the night, which goes back to a Jewish wedding. It's part of their culture. Every Jewish bride in ancient times was literally stolen in the middle of the night. It was part of the romance and the tradition and the culture of a Jewish wedding. That's why she was never told the day or the hour of her wedding. She was watching and waiting, and she just had to be ready, knowing that at any moment he's going to come and steal me, and that begins the wedding ceremony. It's very exciting and romantic part of their tradition. And of course, you can see all of the analogies here. We're watching, we're waiting like a thief in the night. He will come. We don't know the day or the hour. He's preparing a place for us. So all of these mysteries, and then the mystery of the new birth as well, they all have to do, the culmination of God's plan and goal is the second coming of Jesus. And again, I do not know the day or the hour. I don't know. It's my own personal belief, and I don't, you know, not based on any scripture, but it's my belief that he will come in my lifetime. He may not. But the signs are there, and he very, very well could. And I want to be ready to go in any way. And so Titus chapter 2, verse 13, let's read that scripture out loud together. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be watching for it. Not just waiting for it, watching for it. Ready, prepared, ready to go. ready to be taken up, ready to be caught up with him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read that. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. God wants to come and he desires for everyone who wants to go to heaven, they can. All they have to do is ask Jesus to come into their heart and to be forgiven of their sins. So, okay, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. So the kingdom was postponed. The church was born. For the last 2,000 years, all this mystery of the body of Christ, as I say, it appears likely that we may be at the very end of that mystery, the end of the church age. We may be near the completion of the bride. And the gospel is now making its way back around the circle to Jerusalem. What does that mean? It means that next, after the Lord coming for the rapture, is the kingdom, the coming kingdom, the kingdom of God being established here upon the earth. And that is a very exciting. Let me tell you what will happen then. The prophecies talk about, not only, you know, we talk a lot about Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood to redeem men, but did you know that it is equally true that when Jesus died, he not only redeemed men, but he redeemed the earth? Because in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, you remember what happened? God cursed the ground. He said, you know what? I curse the ground. And for the first time, instead of being like paradise all around the earth, there are wastelands, deserts, badlands, vast areas where nothing would grow. But the Bible says that when the kingdom is reestablished, that's God's goal, that's God's plan, the ground, not only man was redeemed, but the ground that he shed his blood for is going to be redeemed. There will be no more badlands. There will be no more deserts, no more wastelands. In fact, Isaiah 35 says that the desert will blossom as the rose. That's what it says. So the whole earth will be restored when Jesus comes again.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out what's to come and how to be prepared. And if you still have questions about where you stand with God, visit our Knowing God page at maranatharadio.com. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention Unsolved Mysteries. It's available for just $7. And again, the title, Unsolved Mysteries. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.